All right, joining us now is a guest who has a new ebook app featuring all kinds of images and related organizations to the airline industry. Just a fun place to go. I can't wait to check this out. Jennifer Coutts Clay is with us this morning. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning, Ken.
I see here that you have worked in the past for British Airways, which, of course, is still in business. But
yeah.
And I don't like to feel nostalgic about a company, but I still think about Pan American and I get sad.
Everybody says that, and there's a wonderful Pan Am Historical Foundation with a center at the Cradle of Aviation Museum, Garden City, Long Island, and I was a founder member of that, and it is important. There are gatherings, and yes, people do like to look back to the glory days of Pan Am.
Let me ask you this. If I have a flight scheduled, say, from Phoenix here to Dallas, and it's a round trip, and on my way there, I'm on an Airbus A320. On the way back, I'm on a Boeing 737. Do I care?
Well, from the point of view of passengers, the cabin treatment is all important. Are my knees hitting the seat in front of me? Do they serve beverage? Do they serve food? And from the point of view of which aircraft type, well, do passengers actually know whether they're on an Airbus or a Boeing 737. Really, it's the cabin that's ultra important for passengers, and both those aircraft types that you've mentioned are highly efficient. Look, Southwest flies the 737 fleet, and JetBlue flies the A320 fleet. We're talking about top-class, ultra-efficient aircraft types.
But they have variations in there. They can put more or less seats in, and they can look different, the decorative aspects and so forth. Let me also, since you have an airline crystal ball, there is talk again about supersonic travel, which has been gone for a while since the Air France accident.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see a real future for that again?
Well, this is something that I'm really interested in. I personally worked on Concorde when I was at British Airways, when the Concorde was in the hangars for refurbishment and upgrade with my own hands. So I've been deeply involved in Concorde, and there's a section in my ebook app about Concorde, decommissioned in 2003. So, yes, supersonic transport is out there. Back in the 1960s, people in Boeing, people in the major airlines, including Pan Am, and the Russians and the Europeans all thought that the major routes of the world, the major international routes, would be served by SST, supersonic transport. Now, we all know that Concorde flew for 27 years, which is the average length of time for an aircraft type. And already, Aerion, Boom, Spike, Lockheed Martin are talking about supersonic programs for the coming decade. And if you have an option to fly over the Atlantic in 6.5 or 7 hours, or supersonic in under 3.5 hours, which would be the preferred choice? So, yes, I think everybody is hoping to see supersonic transport restored to the international routes.
Because they face a battle with environmentalists in some cases, and also noise restrictions with that sonic boom. But it would be exciting to be able to go in that much shorter time in the future. Do you see any further consolidation in the U.S. air business? It seems to me we've consolidated as much as we reasonably can at this point.
Gosh, that's a very interesting question. At this time, we're looking at excellent figures across the United States, you know, 4 years of solid business achievements, and the airlines are looking very healthy. Now, what will happen? Possibly we'll see more niche carriers opening up their business and their routes. Who knows about consolidation? It's a very, very complicated issue, and I think that for the time being, with the jet fuel price where it is, things are going to go on as we've seen them over the last couple of years. But looking further ahead, if jet fuel price spikes again, then we might see changes.
Jennifer Coutts Clay joining us this morning. Also, it seems now that slowly but surely the amenities that we had become accustomed to back in the old days are returning. A story, I think this week or last week, Delta Airlines is going to start serving full course meals in coach on their international flights. Do you see a trend there where we're going to get back to actually having magazines and things like that in the plane again?
Magazines, they are heavy sometimes, and nowadays with seatback TV and Wi-Fi enablement, we see e-magazines. But yes, nowadays the airlines do want to do more to help the situation in the economy class cabin. It was after 9/11 that the airlines in USA, with the exception of Continental, the airlines stopped serving food and beverage in economy class. And so now, with the heightened competition and with a different business model, airlines are able to offer blankets, they're able to offer Wi-Fi, they're able to offer food and beverage. So I think things are going to be more comfortable for passengers in the economy class section.
Interesting what you just said. I flew on one of the very last Continental flights in coach where they served a full meal. One of the last. About 2 weeks later, they stopped all of that and started charging for bags. And so that was one of the last. All right. Now, let's talk about quickly before we let you go, your app. Where can we get that? And this just sounds fascinating.
Well, thank you very much for your wide-ranging questions, Ken. My ebook app is available on Amazon, Apple, iTunes, and Google Play. The website is jetlinercabins.com, and all the details are in there.
Jetlinercabins.com, is that what you said?
Yes, jetliner, all one word, jetlinercabins.com.
Sounds great. All right, so, and that's available, you said, on Amazon.
Amazon, Apple iTunes, and Google Play.
Excellent. Well, it's been a pleasure talking with you this morning. Happy flying. You still fly a lot?
Oh, yes, I do travel, and thank you so much for your wonderful questions, and I would like to wish you bon voyage for your next flight.
All right, Jennifer, come visit us here.
Thank you.
All right, thanks a lot.